Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
From the Motorsport Network, I'm Tom Howard, and you're listening to a special edition of Gravel Notes. Today, I'm once again joined by my co-driver for this pod, Luke Barry, but we also have a very special guest joining us to talk all things rally. It's none other than two-time and reigning world rally champion, Toyota Gazoo Racing's Callie Robinpera. Welcome to the podcast, gents. How are we? Are we doing well?
Thank you. All good, yeah. It's nice to speak to you guys, and everything good here.
I'm all good as well. Not that we care so much about how I'm feeling when we've got a world champion on the podcast, but yeah, all good, mate, and looking forward to this, as always.
Absolutely, yeah, a really special guest for us, and we're looking forward to talking to you, Callie, about... we'll try and make this as fun as possible. We want to sort of learn a bit more about some of the cool things you get up to, rather than sort of the hard-hitting stuff, so hopefully we'll have some fun. Firstly, yeah, as I said, thanks, Callie, for joining us. We really appreciate it. When we have drivers come on the show, we like to ask a couple of fun questions to start. So we know a lot about how you started out in the sport, Callie, but what is your first rally memory?
I think first memory has to be from some Rally Finland test when my dad was driving. If I remember right, it was probably 307 test for him. So it has to be like 2003 or 2004, something like this. I think that's why, let's say, one of my first memories. And I remember it really well because I was actually driving with him on the stage. Like my cousin, who was quite much older than me, was co-driving with him like one run. But I was so small that I was actually sitting on my dad's lap. And then we went on the stage. And he, of course, was not driving full speed, but I was there and holding the steering wheel myself. And I remember some like really small things about it and seeing some photos.
That's proper fever, isn't it? The real question to ask though, Cali, was the gearbox working on that test? Because we know that was a weak point of that car at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was probably working. I cannot remember that. But yeah, it was really fun, and there is quite a funny story about that because the whole day I was asking my dad like to do like handbrake turn on the place where they turn around where I was watching. And then when we went to drive, then we came to the turnaround place and I told him like, okay, now let's make the handbrake turn. Like that was the best part for me. And of course he needed to steer at the same time when he was pulling the handbrake with the other hand. So he was not holding me because he couldn't. And I hit my head straight to the steering wheel, of course, because the car was braking. And then dad was a bit scared, but did I hurt myself? And I just turned around and showed thumbs up, all good, let's go again. So that's the first memory.
Well, I think that's a particularly strong start to our segment of fun questions. Very good story, that one, as always. But Callie, tell us a fun fact about yourself that people maybe don't know.
That's always a difficult one. Actually, most probably people don't know, at least outside. Okay, in Finland people know a bit, but outside of Finland, I do own a racehorse. So, and actually, I have been doing not like racing in the competition, but I have tried like from the, I don't know how you call it, from the, let's say, it's not tracing from the back of the horse, but like in the garage behind. And yeah, I own that kind of horse with my friends. And that's one hobby of mine also.
He's a man of many talents, is our world champion, isn't he, Tom?
I see a different kind of horsepower, Callie. I like it. It's really interesting. I guess our next question we always like to ask our drivers is, if you were to run a WRC team, which two drivers would you pick from history and which car would you pick?
Probably I would take something from the 90s or early 2000s. I would probably make like fully Finnish team. I would make probably 206 for sure, because that car always looked good. They had really good results with that one, so it has to be quite fast. That one, or then ST185 Celica. And I would definitely pick Juha Kankkunen, because yeah, he is from the Finnish drivers. He's the best for me, and I'm also quite close with him, and it's always really fun time with Juha, so I like him a lot. So probably Juha would be one driver, and then maybe Markus Grönholm would be the second one, because he made some good results that time. So I would say that would be a strong team.
That's a very strong pick. I've got to say, I can't really fault that. I'm a big 206 fan, so that's I'm all on board with that. What do you think, Luke?
Well, I'm just wondering there if you've got your little model 206 next to you, Tom, that you can show off apparently with your massive set of cars. There you are. We know it, yeah. Anything 90s, 2000s, I think most rally fans get excited about it. But you're a big fan with us, Callie, for that pick. The final warm-up question we'd like to put to you is quite simply, what is the coolest part about being a WRC driver? What's the best thing about your job?
That's a nice car right there, what Tom has. I think the coolest thing is definitely what it would be. I would say driving these cars. That has to be the coolest thing. For sure, it's nice also to go around and see the world. But of course, we are usually quite busy when we go around and focusing on the driving. But yeah, I would say to drive these cars on the absolute limit is the coolest thing what you can do.
Yeah, I would say it's maybe the predictable answer. I think for me, well, for us, Tom and I, we love to be journalists of the sport. We're ultimately fans. But I think if we had the capabilities to do the driving, we'd potentially try and do it. But I don't think we'd maybe have the talent so much to get it done. We know, of course, you do, and your co-driver, Jonny Halttunen. But one thing we've actually really enjoyed about you, Callie, in the last sort of, particularly I think the last year and a bit, is it feels like your personality is now really coming across, particularly when you speak to the live cameras at the end of stages. Now that, for me, must be a very difficult part of a WRC weekend for you guys. I know you don't know any different, but to have to express your emotions so quickly after having driven flat out with all the adrenaline pumping is actually, I think, an underrated skill that all you guys had. But we wanted to actually highlight some of your best ever stage end quotes, in our opinion, and actually see if you can remember both when you said them and, I guess, the context behind it. So we'll kick off with potentially one of the more famous ones from recent times. You said, it's a bit like driving Super Mario Kart when someone is throwing bananas or smoke bombs in front of you. Can you remember that scenario?
Yeah, I can remember that quite easily. It was in Chile last year. Master had some issues in front of us, and it was, let's say, not the optimal stage for either one of us, and we had some troubles behind him.
Out of interest, where does the inspiration come from a line like that? Do you think about what you're going to say, or does it just come out of your mouth instinctively?
Yeah, for me, usually, I don't think it so much. Of course, you have, like, 15 seconds between the stage end and the interview, so there is not much to think of. But yeah, it just comes from somewhere, and I'm usually not so frustrated, or I'm not showing the frustration so much than the others. So that's my style almost in everything. Even if I'm disappointed or issues, I try to always try to find something funny or positive about it, even though it doesn't because it doesn't change the situation if you are angry or frustrated. It has already happened, and then you can just laugh about it because there is nothing else you can do.
I think we can probably speak collectively on behalf of all Rally fans that's much appreciated, because there have been some classic lines, and we can always see the joy on your face, I think, when we get to an end of a stage as well. The second one we wanted to bring up, and this one has been translated from Finnish to English, which maybe already gives you a bit of an idea where we're going, but you said, "I feel if I want to win the stage, I will win the stage." Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember when I said it. But actually the rally, I'm not sure. Probably it has to be Estonia. Last year. Maybe last year, Estonia.
Correct, yeah. The rally you decided to dominate everybody on by, I can't remember how many stages you won in a row, but it was quite something.
Yeah, that's actually quite funny because I was not the first one to say it. Marco Allen said it in Finnish interviews, like, I don't know, 80s, 90s. And I have seen the clip few times, so I just quoted him. So I didn't invent the saying.
Well, do you know, it's not actually on our list, but I remember, I think it was Portugal. There was a year where you came to the end of a stage and Marcus Grönholm was there, and you referenced his famous meteorologist line. So you've definitely got a big awareness of things that have been said in the past and rally's history, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm not like a super rally fan that I know everything like some people from the old times, but yeah, I for sure I know the fun stuff and all the let's say funny lines and interviews and stuff what have been going around. These ones I always remember, and it's let's say a fun way to honor the old legends who has done it in their times, and I think it's just fun sometimes to quote them.
Well, speaking of, I guess, fun stage ends, this one is potentially one of the more famous ones that you said. Just before the stage, I got a message that Traction has left the chat. I guess this one is something you're well aware of. You've probably seen that one online a fair few times since.
Yeah, that was in Sweden. Probably, was it 2022 or? No, it was 23.
Last year.
Has to be, yeah.
Yeah.
23, and yeah. There was not much you can do, and like I said, when in this is the kind of situation when you lose that much time and that you know already driving that you have like you have no chance, and of course it's really disappointing because one stage ruins your whole weekend basically, and like I said, you can try to find something funny about it, and you are already thinking on the stage, you are not thinking what you are gonna say, but you are thinking that you're fucked, basically, so it doesn't matter in that moment anymore so much, and you just try to find something funny to say.
That's good. That's quality to hear that, actually. But I think this next one highlights another side to you, Callie, and perhaps your interest in wildlife, where you pulled up to a stage end and you said, "I was saying hi to a really cute dog on the road section before, so hopefully that gives us some good luck at least." Do you remember this one?
Yeah, that was Chile also. And I remember the dog, because... Actually, I have many photos of the dog. We were chasing tires before the stage, and just some random dog from somewhere. I think it was somebody's dog because it didn't look like he was in a bad condition or anything. But it reminded me of my dog a lot, who passed away last year. It looked exactly like my old dog, and that's why I remembered it so well. And I was 20 minutes stopped there, and I was playing with him the whole time before the stage. So. That was good, let's say, boost for the motivation when we were cleaning the road and also losing a bit of time. So at least I had fun with the dog.
That's actually so wholesome to hear that. And, you know, I think this is one of the things that I know is a big conversation about the way WRC promoted, and we'll not get into that today. But I think this is part of the stuff that maybe people don't realize that you guys get up to on road sections. And I guess the emotions involved in anything to do with the rally stage, like, how little things like that can essentially give you a bit of a boost heading into a stage.
Yeah, exactly. We see and think so many things before the stages and between them. We spent the whole day out there, and it's not only driving flat out with the helmets on. So you see and think a lot of things.
So the final quote we want to, I guess, run past you and remind you of was, I think I'm right in saying, Thomas, it's actually maybe your favourite of the bunch, where you rolled up to the stage end, Callie, you pointed to the back of your helmet and you simply said, "This is my reply."
Oh yeah, that was actually quite cool moment for sure. We were fighting in Croatia with Oit, I think, 2022, and yeah, it was first year when I had that text on my helmet. I have it nowadays in every helmet. I have it tattooed in my hand also, and yeah. That was funny. I remember maybe they were asking what is the reply or something, like, was this the reply or did the push of Oit or something like this, and I just showed this was the reply.
And just remind everybody what that text was as well, if you can.
Yeah, it's full send. It's my some kind of motto nowadays, at least for racing.
Very good. Well, Tom, I think that lived up to our pre-podcast expectations, didn't it? That was class.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you, Kelly. We were sort of trying to come up with some fun ideas for you, and that was what we came up with. And yeah, that was mega. And yeah. I have to say, I agree with Luke. That was one of my favourite quotes you've said, because it was just so perfect. So perfect. The timing, the delivery, you absolutely nailed it. It was very, very good. So but we're going to move on to something a little bit more about your car culture, because I think you, out of all the drivers in the service park, are probably most into cars out of everyone. You've got an incredible car collection, you love going drifting, you love anything that's sort of on wheels by the sounds of things. Talk us through about, like, where's that come from, and talk us through your car collection, because it is quite incredible what you have there.
So basically, I'm at least from all the drivers, like, most interested about non-rally cars. Like street cars and not like racing cars so much. Of course, I have some rally cars also in the collection, but yeah, I think I have always been really interested about, let's say, the drifting culture, and maybe connected to that, like the Japanese car culture, where you modify cars and tune them and stuff like this. Yeah, I just enjoy cars a lot. It's like, I would say my main hobby is to build cars. Like, I'm not, of course, I don't have the time and the skills either to make the cars myself, but I really enjoy, let's say, if I get a new car, to think about the spec myself, like what kind of wheels I want and all the small details like exhaust and small bits and pieces here and there, and then if my mechanics or some company who I'm using is then making the car together, and when I see it I'm ready, it's the one of the biggest joys I can get. Let's say it's my hobby, and I enjoy like street cars and stuff so much. I just love how they look, and I love like how you can express yourself and your style with the cars.
Do you have a particular favorite of your collection that you just couldn't, you know, live without?
Yeah, I would say from the street cars, definitely it has to be, probably if I just have to pick one, it has to be the E30 M3, which is the Tour de Corse edition. So the car is made in the 87 by French BMW to honor the win of Tour de Corse rally, which is maybe one of the only like world championship, or like, I don't know, was it world championship that time, but like wins by BMW. And this car is only made 50 pieces. I don't know how many of them is alive anymore, but I have one, and it's a really rare one, and I really, really like it a lot.
Wow, that is quite incredible. I was going to say that not only do you have obviously your own car collection, but this year you've got your own special road-going GR Yaris that you've helped play a part of as well. How exciting is it to be a part of that project?
Yeah, of course, it's so amazing project overall. Like to be from the first steps of being able to drive the car, decide a bit of settings, what we put on the car, and then small details, what you can choose yourself. Something really amazing, I would say. So really, really cool. And big thanks to Toyota and Akia for this project, because they are also like really passionate about these kind of things. And like Akia is the one who's like really excited about making this kind of project with us drivers. And yeah, I would say it's really cool having a numbered edition like this. I think the cars will be quite rare at some point. And of course, if we think about all the special editions like this, when the years go on, all the people remember them, and to have your own special edition like this, which will be really rare at some point, is of course quite nice for a car collector like my like me, who thinks about these things, and I appreciate things like this. So I'm really excited about them.
I think yourself and Akio are almost the same person, aren't you? Both very similar in terms of your car, you know, love of cars. Like, you both sort of seem to fit well together.
Yeah, I think so. He has quite a similar mindset. Like, he enjoys cars a lot. On his free time, he's doing a lot of car stuff. So that's quite nice to see from a big boss like he is.
I was going to say, the other factor that myself and Luke want to talk to you about, I'll pass you over to Luke for this, is your love of drifting. Now, I guess, Luke, you could sort of pick that up and carry with that.
Yeah, well, I guess we have talked about it already a bit earlier, but we know, Callie, that you are, I guess, breaking the mould in being a rally driver that goes drifting. They're not really two things that go hand-to-hand as sports, even though, ironically, there's maybe a lot of transferable skills between the two, and we see, particularly in the past, lots of images of rally cars sliding around the place and stuff. But I guess what actually got you into drifting, and just how much does that actually help you in everything else that you do behind the wheel?
Yeah, so basically I would say first time I drove a drift car was probably 2017 or 18. And it was interesting. It was a thing I was speaking with my dad when I was younger already, before that I want to try drifting, like, for sure. Like, I knew that I'm going to like it. I was following a bit of drifting, and I was excited to try some cars. And we couldn't make it happen for a few years, let's say. And then I actually bought my probably second street car ever was S13 Nissan. And with really small modifications, you can drift these cars a bit. So I went to drifting a few times with that. And then I had the chance to try like a pro drift car. And it was actually competition weekend in Finland. And there was free practice. And the guy, I didn't know him at that time. I met him probably first time. And he was like, yeah, just go to the free practice. Like, I don't need to practice for the race. You can drive the car a few laps. I did a few laps like without any practice, straight from the line up to the entry. And it went really well. And then everybody, like, he also said, it looks good, you're driving and everything. And after that, I was like, yeah, I need to do this more, and got my first proper drift car, and that way it started.
How amazing does it actually feel when you're linking up a sequence of corners and you're maximizing the points, getting close to the clipping points and everything else? Like, I know there's plenty of things that you do in your life which must feel amazing, but that must be right up there with one of the best things you can do, isn't it? If you've got the talent to do that.
Yeah, for sure. It's a strange sport in a way, because it has now, in a few years, it has been evolving a lot. Like, it's the competition side of drifting has went so high, like, in a few years. Like, the cars are proper race cars. They are really fast. Like, for people who don't know about, like, pro drifting, many people are, like, expecting you don't have grip because you want to slide. But basically, all the cars are tripped up as much as possible. Like, we have so much grip in the cars that it's not easy anymore to drive. Many people already say, and drivers also, it's a bit too much grip because it doesn't make the driving look so good anymore. But anyway, it's like, it's cool if you make it work, like, with the proper drift car and proper tires, like, competition setup. When you have a lot of grip, you really need to be on it. Like, you are pushing the car and the tire all the time. You need to be, like, really pushing the limit of the grip a lot, because the car has so much grip. It tries to straighten all the time, and you just need to push a lot. And if you can make it work, it's fun. But I would say still, for drifting, like, how it also started, it was for fun. And this year I've decided that I want to also do a bit more fun events, where you just go drive with your friends. No points, no competition. You just banging doors with the practice cars and just having, like, train of 7 cars in a row, just tandeming and stuff. And that's like the most fun what you can do with the car. Like no pressure of competition, but just driving and having fun with your friends.
That's pure art, isn't it? Like that is just incredible. But we understand that your good friend and Toyota teammate Takamoto Katsuta is quite into the drifting. He's been driving a car actually that your team has built, hasn't he, as well? So you've got a bit of a drifting buddy in the rallying scene as well.
Yeah, it's a funny story actually how it went, because when my Supra came from Japan, I think 2021 was it? Yeah, probably. Takashi Yaris came at the same time. They built both of the cars in Japan. And then, Takashi Yaris had some stuff to do for it. Like, we needed to work on the car to make it more suitable for drifting and to be more prepared, let's say. We didn't have time. It just was like a few years in the garage. And then Taka was like testing, I think he was like watching a bit of drifting in Japan, where I was also driving now in like last year. And then he was like, he need to drive also. Like now he wants to drive the Yaris, which has been waiting. Then my guys rebuilt the car in Finland. And Taka has been driving now 2 days and he's actually quite excited. Like when he finally got some proper laps in and he was driving well also. We need to work on the car still to make it, let's say, much better to drive the setup and stuff, but he was enjoying and he is surprisingly excited.
I think everybody loves Taka, don't they? But I think you and him seem to have a very close relationship. It's almost like you're brothers, isn't it? Like the two of you help each other out. We understand you sat with him on even in the rally car on tests and stuff. So can you just talk to us, I guess, about that relationship with Taka and why you guys get on so well?
Actually, he's definitely the closest friend of them all. And I think I've said to some interview also, like, Taka is the only driver I would be really happy if he beats me for a win or something. probably not at that exact moment when I lose to him, but like after the feelings cool down, I'm sure I would be super happy for him. So then you know that he's your real friend when you're actually really, really cheering for him when you're even in the same races. So yeah, it's really cool to always work with Taka. Actually, I haven't dipped with him in the test because I don't like it, and Taka is so crazy that I don't want to go drive him. Yeah, for sure. I always try to help him much as I can.
I was going to say, it's really lovely to see that relationship. We see it quite a lot in the actual rallies, and it's great to see that. But also at the moment, I just want to say, like, what is it like? How cool is it to be you at the moment? Because you've got this sort of year where you can do pretty much what you want to do. You get to do some WRC rallies. You get to do some circuit racing. You're doing drifting. Like, this must be quite a fun year for you.
Yeah, it is, and already now I can feel that it's doing a lot of good stuff for me, let's say. I can feel that you can relieve the stress a lot what you normally have during the full year and if you're fighting for the championship. So yeah, definitely I've been enjoying already the year until this moment quite a lot, and really excited to go in a few weeks, first time on the circuit and have that new challenge, what will be really difficult, but still that's the point of it. It's new, it's interesting, and that's why I also have much more your own interest and motivation to learn and see how it goes.
Yeah, the circuit racing stuff with the Porsche, obviously Carrera Cup that you're doing, you're working with obviously some quite big names. Mark Goossens, I believe, is a part of the team that you're working with. He's obviously a veteran. Like, what has it been like so far in the testing of the car? Have you found it sort of easy to adapt, or has it been as harder than you thought?
I just basically had a half of the day testing so far, which is, like we know, not enough. But the first day went well. I think my lap times were on an okay level. Some of them actually quite okay, if I understood right. So, of course, it's going to be a long process to actually get to the level where I want to be, because you just need, like in every sport and like motorsport, you know, you just need some experience. You need kilometers and there will be always first times for so many things what you need to experience that, you need time, but it's really cool. I think that the team is motivated to do well, and having guys like Mark and staff in the team who has so much experience, I think we are going to have a nice program of, the plan is to just try to introduce me to the racing, how it works. And of course, I think we are all motivated to try to also have good results. That's not easy to know yet where I will be. But of course, every time you race, you try to do your best, and let's see how it goes.
You've been doing some fun videos with David Coulthard and Mika Hakkinen. We've seen you scare them, the living daylights out of them in a rally car. You've gone and done a bit of circuit racing. Have they been able to give you any advice for the circuit racing? And also, like, what was it like to scare David and Mika like that in the rally car?
Yeah, the rally episode was super fun. The guys came to Sardinia when we were testing. David was okay. He was scared, but at least he enjoyed the whole ride. Mika wasn't having it for a very long time. He didn't enjoy it so much. But Mika has done rallying himself also, so he knows what's up. But yeah, they were both quite impressed by the cars nowadays, what you can do with those, because as you know, we go so fast with the cars nowadays. Like overall, making these videos and trips with the guys, it's fun. They're both super fun guys, and the style how we make the trips, it's just, even though they are filming trips, it's just basically having fun together, and the cameras are rolling. So it's a super cool project always. And I don't think they have been giving so many tips yet, because it's quite impossible just to say something, but yeah, for sure, they have the experience for it.
Just to ask, can we expect anything more from you guys? I know you've been working with one of your partners, Unibet, on those projects. Can we expect more of those videos coming soon, or is that kind of it for the time being?
I'm sure we are having some nice plans. Like I said, the style how we do them is proper Unibet style. They are really, really cool for having these kind of projects, and the start, like the idea is to have us three, like each one of us can give ideas, and actually if they are cool and doable, Unibet is always like, okay, let's go, it sounds good, and I'm sure we will do some more fun stuff together.
Now, to round out this podcast, we do have another fun segment coming, but just before we get to that, we wanted to ask you about something that's come a bit of a trend for you and Yoni Kalli, is particularly when you win world championships, your dance routines on top of Toyotas is coming a bit of a thing. I think first question here is, are they planned, or is that purely just reacting in the moment?
No, it's not planned. So basically 2022, you can see that I had some plans, but Yoni didn't know about them, and he couldn't really hang on. So it looked pretty stupid, but yeah, that was more my fault for not telling him what I'm going to do. So definitely you can see we are not professional dancers, but luckily we are a bit better driving roller car.
Well, there must be a bit of pressure now for if you do win another world championship, because we set the bar quite high with two dance routines. So, and we know now, Carol, you're a star of a hip hop video as well. So I don't know, there might be a bit of pressure on you now, not just in driving, but also in the dancing.
Yeah, let's see. If we get to that point again, then we definitely need to nail a proper dance, and hopefully we both do the same dance so it looks a bit better.
Just one final thing to ask, actually, as well. Just with Yoni, obviously, with the decision you've made this year, you're obviously both now doing less of the WRC, but how is he enjoying his time this year? Because he, like you, has also had a very intense schedule, and it's great for him to also, I guess, see a bit more of life and do other things. We understand he's doing quite a lot of commentary on rallies as well, so he's still involved, but I guess it's a partnership what you two are doing. It's nice to give him credit for that, and it's great for him to get a bit of a break as well.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, when Yoni first heard about the plan, he was a bit surprised, but then really quickly he... Also, when he started to think about it, he was like, okay, this is probably a good thing. And now this year, he has said many times he has also enjoyed the free time a lot, and also there is so many things what you miss when you're not actually in championship fight, even in the rallies and stuff. Like, co-drivers don't need to stress, like, you're not first on the road all the time. He doesn't need to be always the first one from the team to check everything. And like, there is so many small things what make the difference. So yeah, he has been definitely enjoying also, and having more free time. So we both have enjoyed it.
Now, what we'd normally do to wrap up these podcasts is Luke Barry is a bit of a rally font of knowledge. He knows quite a lot about rallying, so we like to test his knowledge. So we've got a little quiz we've put together on your career, Callie, and we're going to see how well Luke knows your career, and you can tell us if he's correct or not. So we're going to start. We actually got him on the Portugal episode. We managed to beat him this time, but this time we'll see how he goes. But I guess we'll start with the first question. And that is where did Callie score his first outright WRC podium finish?
The way you phrased that, I thought you were going to ask for a point and I would have been completely screwed. podium finish was Sweden 2020. And if I'm correct, Callie, I'm pretty sure, did you win the Paris stage on that final one as well?
Yeah, that was the first podium. And I believe we were fourth before the stage, if I remember right. Really close battle with Seb, like, few seconds or second or something, and then yeah, we managed to be third by winning the power stage.
Very strong start, Luke. One question suggested, one answered correctly, so we're already a good start. Number two then, second question, what rally did Callie make his first WRC start?
I've got a hunch, but I'm now trying to think in my head if it's correct, but I want to say it was Wales Rally GB in 20... How old are you? You're born in 2000, weren't you? So 2017?
Yeah, that's also
that's correct.
That's quite good. Yeah.
You had two rallies in a Fiesta. Yeah, it was a Fiesta R5 then, wasn't it? In my head, I was picturing a Skoda, but you had a Ford for, two rallies, which was... Yeah. I think people forget that, actually. But yeah.
I think I might get you with this third question because we did sort of skirt around it earlier in this podcast. Question number three is, on his way to victory in Estonia last year, how many consecutive stage wins did Callie score?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, if it helps, I know it was every single stage of Saturday and Sunday, but I can't remember the number. So this is going to be a guess. I'm sure it was over 10, and I don't think it surpassed 15. So I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say 13.
Absolutely spot on. Spot on. I thought I was going to get you there. I genuinely thought I'd get you.
I didn't know it even myself. So.
Okay, I'll take that. But it was total guesswork.
Because you said earlier in the pod, I can't remember how many stages it was. And I thought, yes, I've got him. But no, he's pulled it out from nowhere. Anyway, okay, there we go. Yeah. Number four then, the penultimate question. Where did Callie score his first WRC2 victory?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'll be honest and say I don't know. So I'm going to make an educated guess. I would say, obviously, he won the title in 19, but 18, I imagine there was a win in there. Probably did win in Finland, but I don't know if that was the first one. So, I'll say Finland, but I'm totally not confident in that answer.
That's not correct. I think.
We've got him. We've got him. You can have a second guess, but we've won.
Can I ask for a hit? Was it before Finland or was it after Finland in the year?
After.
Okay. Interesting. I'm trying to think what the WRC calendar was at that time to work it out.
It's a rally that's no longer part of the championship.
Ooh. Okay. That helps. Then for some reason my instinct says Spain then. But again, we're guessing.
No,
I don't
think that's right either. I don't think that's right actually what you're guessing. because officially it was before Rally Finland in 2018.
Oh, okay.
We were the only car in the class 2017 Australia. So we won the class.
So you
were Australia though, yeah?
I've forgotten about that.
There was no there was nobody
Australia.
Else, but we still won the class because we were because you said after Rally Finland 2018.
Oh, sorry. So it was Australia though, yeah?
Yeah, that's the correct answer. I thought you had something else in mind because you said after Rally Finland.
No, sorry, that's just me not knowing the calendar, but I have I've got the Australia bit correct. That's cool. okay, right.
That's frustrating.
Australia was the first one.
Okay, well, the final question, Cali, we always do is quite tricky, so I can be forgiven for not knowing the answers for this one, because it's our power stage question, so it has five answers. So Cali scored his first outright WRC win in 2021 at Rally Estonia, but Luke, can you name the top five finishers?
From Estonia, though, 2021? Oh, wow. Okay. well, Cali won. We know that much.
Yes.
I want to say that I'm sure Craig was on the podium, but I can't remember if he was second or third. I imagine Oit was probably there, because was that the year before he had it, or was this the year he had the issues? Might have been the year he had the issues. Ooh, I will say I'm going to lock in Craig for second and just pray that's correct.
That is correct. Okay. You've got P2 correct.
Good start. Then I'm going to backtrack myself. I don't think it was Tanak. I think that's the year where he kind of went off and had the problems. So this is difficult, you know. Was it Thierry? I'm just gonna pump and say Thierry, but I'm not confident for third.
That is correct. That is correct. You've done it again. That is extraordinary. You are having a great day.
Okay. I'm a pressure player, apparently. Top five.
I don't even know this.
There must be a Toyota in the top five somewhere else. So I'm trying to think of Estonia, because Seb was never particularly good there. Ogier. But then I'm gonna assume it's Seb and Elvin in fourth and fifth. But picking who's ahead of who is, because we don't have all day. I'm gonna say fourth Ogier, fifth Evans, and just pray I'm not completely off.
You've done it. You've absolutely nailed it. I can't believe it. How the hell do you do this every time?
That's quite good. Impressive.
Are you actually Jari Matti Latvala in disguise?
I think that would be the final boss of this quiz would be to take on Jari Matti at something, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And see who's... Yeah. I don't know if I should be proud or embarrassed that I know this much, to be honest. One of the two.
That is extraordinary. That is extraordinary. What?
So we'll take that.
You've only
that's
got
quite,
one.
That's quite nice. Well,
you only got one incorrect out of all that. So, fair play to you, Luke. Your credentials are very much intact. And thanks, Cali, for helping us there. That was useful to have the actual person of the quiz, the subject of the quiz, being able to help with the answers. That's fantastic. Well, I guess we'll have to wrap up there. So we will call that a day for the podcast. But thank you. A big thanks to Cali for joining us. We really appreciate you joining and us taking time out of your schedule to talk, because we realise how busy you drivers are. So we really appreciate it. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Remember to log on to Autosport and motorsport.com to keep up to date with all the latest WRC news and analysis. Be sure to join us for another edition of Gravel Notes. Thank you for listening.